Welcome. I'm glad you're with us today. As you can see on the screen, we're talking about His love endures forever, something we've been talking about for quite a while now. His love endures forever. Can you ever exhaust the understanding we ought to have of the love of God? His love endures forever. That's a quote right out of Psalm 136, verse 1. And I put under that, I think it was, I looked it up, it's about, is there another line on there? I think there is. 43 times, is that what it said? Yeah, 40. I looked it up yesterday. 43 times in the Bible, it mentions that very same phrase, His love endures forever. Now, a lot of people think, well, if he's so loving, how come my life is in a mess? Well, some of that is that you may have ignored His love. Some of that is you've made your own decisions. He's not going to make all your decisions for you. And some of it is you're not tuned in. We're going to talk about that today. There is more. There is more to the spiritual life than just church. We've got to be tuned into that. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. We're going to look at that in Numbers for a minute. Now, if you have your Bible hand, Numbers chapter 12. Numbers chapter 12, and that's the thing on the screen here. If you've been reading Numbers, you know the context of this story. With Him I speak face to face, clearly not in riddles. He sees the form of the Lord. That's talking about Moses. Would you like to meet Jesus face to face? You will one day. What's He going to look like? Stunning. Stunning. Literally. People saw angels on the earth. They collapsed. Paul saw Jesus and it was such a bright light. Paul was blinded for 3 days. You see Jesus in heaven, it's going to be stunning. Moses. Moses. Chapter 12, Numbers chapter 12, verse 1. Miriam and Aaron began to talk against Moses because of his Cushite wife, for he had married a Cushite or a black woman. Has the Lord spoken only through Moses, they asked? Hasn't He also spoken through us? And the Lord heard this. This is family. Miriam and Aaron are Moses' siblings. And some things had happened, and they got kind of put out with Moses, and they said, what's so big deal about him? That usually happens when somebody gets famous out of a family, and the family says, what's the big deal? You know, I knew him. I mean, we know him. Miriam and Aaron had known Moses a long time, and they said, what's this big deal? God speaks to us too. But God heard it. Verse 3, this is a key. Now Moses was a very humble man, the most humble of anyone else on the face of the earth. Moses? Charlton Heston in the movies? Raise a stick and the sea splits? Moses did some powerful things. And it calls him the most humble man. Did you know humility is a key to your spiritual life? If you're walking around in pride, even spiritual pride, God won't listen to you. Humility says, I hear Him. I listen to Him. I open my heart to Him. And I know I'm not better than anybody else. We're all sinners before God until we come to Christ. Moses was an humble man. He said, in fact, Scripture says you couldn't find anybody any more humble than Moses. Then it goes on from there to say, at once the Lord said to Moses, Aaron, and Miriam, come out to the tent of meeting. This is a place where Moses met with God. Come out to the tent of meeting, all three of you. Whew, sounds like being called to the principal's office, doesn't it? I want you and you and you in the office. Uh-oh. They got in there. Then the Lord came down in a pillar of cloud. He stood at the entrance to the tent and summoned Aaron and Miriam. When both of them stepped forward, He said, listen to my words. When a prophet of God, prophet of the Lord, is among you, I reveal myself to him in visions. I speak to him in dreams, but this is not true of Moses. He is faithful. Well, When the Word of God says you're humble, the most humble man in your day, and you're faithful, that is a lot. Faithful in all of my house. The most faithful man he had in the house of Israel was Moses. Wow. With him I speak face to face, clearly, not in riddles. He sees the form. He sees the form of Jehovah. My goodness. Why then were you not afraid to speak against my servant Moses? What happened? Well, Miriam wound up with leprosy. And Moses prayed for her. See, sometimes you get away with stuff. You get away with stuff, but you pay a price. Well, Moses prayed. Leprosy got cured. Moses was a man that God said, I speak to him face to face. You say, but that was Moses. I'm not Moses. Moses wasn't born again. Moses didn't have Christ. Moses didn't have the Holy Spirit in him. He had the Spirit on him, but he didn't have the Spirit in him. You got a lot more than what Moses had as far as benefits in the Lord. I think Moses, sometimes probably you think about Moses, he would have loved to see our day. In fact, Moses and Elijah met with Jesus on the Mount of Transfiguration when Jesus stepped one foot into heaven and one foot on the earth, and everything glowed about him. And the disciples said, Moses and Aaron and Elijah came up to talk to Jesus. Moses is the law. Elijah is the prophets. There's nobody greater than Jesus. The law and the prophets showed up on that mountain to talk to him about the things he was going to suffer and face in the next few days. Speaking to God face to face. Amazing to me. That amazes me. Spoke to God face to face. Next slide has Exodus 33. Backing up to Exodus 33. I'm trying to work on this idea of getting us an appetite. Are you listening? Not wasting your time, are you listening? I'm trying to help us get an appetite for the presence of God. Church is boring without God. Sermons are boring if without God. But if God is in it, get that appetite that says, I want to know more. I'm not done yet. I may die next week, but I'm not done yet. I'm still learning more. I'm trying to get to the point in my life where I can talk to God, and I can talk to God face to face. Exodus 33, verse 11. The Lord would speak to Moses face to face as a man speaks with his friend. Then Moses would return to the camp, but his young aide Joshua, son of Nun, did not leave the tent. Joshua was a great man too. He stayed in that prayer tent, didn't he? So there it is again. That was earlier, and now later you find out in Numbers the same thing. God said, that's what I like about Moses. I can talk to him face to face. And this says, as a man speaks to his friend. Well, how do you talk to your friends? You talk to your friends, you open up. If it's a good friend, your best friend, you open up and you talk and you... And this friend may be older, and the friend may be wiser, and you talk to your friend, and you get good advice. And God said about Moses, that's how I talk to him. He comes to me like a good friend, and we talk. Can you have that? Do you want that? Would that be neat to have in your life if you say, I could spend time with God anytime I want to. I just exit this life for a little while, go in my room, go in my closet, my prayer room, wherever it is. I just talk to my Father face to face. Moses, as far as I can remember, did not call Jehovah his Father. He called him the Lord or Jehovah. El Shaddai, which means the Mighty One. When the disciples asked Jesus, teach us to pray, he said, pray this way. You remember it, don't you? Our Father. Christian prayer is children like Jesus. Jesus was the Son praying to the Father. He said, I want you to imitate that. children praying to their heavenly Father. Moses spoke to God face to face. If you look at, it's not on the screen there, but chapter 34 of Exodus, verse 29. Exodus 34, 29, you can write it down and get it later. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of testimony in his hands, he did not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. He'd been on the mountain for 40 days. Didn't eat or drink, 40 days. He came down from that mountain, and it says he was not aware that his face was radiant because he had spoken with the Lord. When Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, his face was radiant, and they were afraid to come near him. That doesn't mean radiant like he had a smile on his face. The word in Hebrew, radiant, means he had shafts of light. His face was so radiant with light and shafts of light coming out, like horns almost coming out of his head. Radiant. He was radiating God. And it frightened them. They saw. Sometimes you get close to God and you'll scare some of your friends and your coworkers. But we don't care, do we? They just got to get with it because I'm gonna be with God. And I'm going to be with God as much as I can be with God. If somebody doesn't understand it, well, maybe they'll catch up one day. But Moses came down the mountain and he had to put a veil over his face because they were so scared of him. Put a veil over his face until that radiance went away. Even in the mountain, 40 days, talking directly to God and seeing His form, I want you to get this, it wore off. It wore off. What does that mean? I have to do it again. Church, Sunday morning church, will wear off pretty fast. So you have to have your own time with God every day, as much as you can. Psalm 27, next slide has Psalm 27. In Psalm 27, I've talked about it before, but it's one of my favorites in this subject matter we're talking about here. But Psalm 27, King David, did he write some beautiful psalms? You sure? Okay, he did, right? Psalm 27, verse 1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is a stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? You want to get the remedy for fear? There it is. Verse 4. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. I don't think he means I'm going to go there and stay forever. He goes to at that point it was a tabernacle. He go to the tabernacle, worship God. It must have been powerful, powerful music. He had thousands of singers at one point. He had all these things going on, and the worship must have been glorious. But he said, I got to do it again, day after day after day. I want to be there. I want to be there every day. Dwell in the house of the Lord. I want to live in the house of the Lord. The word dwell literally comes from the Hebrew word for marry. I'm going to be at the tabernacle so often, they're going to think I'm married to that place. We say it this way. Yeah, she's there at church every time the doors are open. I don't know why she does that. She knows why she does that, right? I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. Do you think the Lord's beautiful more than anything, any person we've ever seen? Gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. To gaze, it's lock your eyes on. You just, David said, sometimes I just stand there. I'm just gazing on the beauty of the Lord, how beautiful He is. You think of God as being beautiful? Most people don't. They think He's an old man on the throne with a long white beard, mad at everybody. Where do we get that? Santa Claus, I guess. Better be good or Santa Claus won't bring you anything. God's not Santa Claus. When you look at God, you're going to see Him face to face one day and you're going to be stunned. You're going to say, I heard about that, but boy, this is more than I ever heard about. You want to be in heaven, don't you?
Yeah.
For all eternity. Somebody will advertise a movie or something, they'll say, don't miss it. Well, I'm advertising heaven today. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. You don't want to miss that, do you? My goodness. Let's come down to verse 7. Verse 8. Still Psalm 27, verse 8. My heart says of you, seek his face. What did David just say? Something in me keeps saying, lean in, go for it. My heart keeps telling me, go for it. Seek his face. Don't seek more religion, seek him. Seek the face in Hebrew, the word face in Hebrew means presence. And David knew all about that. He said, I want to be there every day. I want to spend all my days in the house of the Lord and in his presence. And now he says, my heart keeps saying, seek it, go after it, go for it, pushing him, nudging him, seek, seek, seek his face. Seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Your face, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You've been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me, O God, my Savior, though my father and mother forsake me. The Lord will do what? Receive me. If you look at the fire station over here, they have a big sign that says, safe place. What's that for? Some runaway kid or somebody that's got a horrible situation, they can't go back home, they can go over there. They'll get them some help. David said, that's how I feel about God. My own family, he said, mama and daddy can disown me. He'll still take me in with open arms. You ever read the story of the prodigal son? That's not really the phrase in the Bible, but people call it that. Did the daddy receive him back after a long trek into wickedness, wasted all the money? David said, he'll take me in. He'll receive me. Do we have a lot to learn about God? We got so much religious tradition encrusted on us, you know, about what mama told us and grandma said, and grandpa sure believed this, and sometimes it was not right. One preacher said, I heard a preacher say, I hate to study the Bible because then I have to throw out some old sermons. Why? Because they're not accurate anymore. Out they go. Keep seeking. My heart says of you. David had heartburn, but it wasn't the kind you're thinking about. His heart kept saying, seek God, seek the Lord. The next one is 1 John, right? In 1 John, I'm reading all these because they make the same point. 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked at, and our hands have touched. This we preach to you concerning the word of life. John and these other apostles walked with Jesus 3.5 years. They ate meals with him. They slept all in some compound at times or out in the tents or whatever. They saw him almost every day for 3.5 years. And at the end of that thing, they saw him crucified, and they all basically left except John. John's standing there at the foot of the cross, and Jesus' mother, and they're watching this. If you think the movie was bad enough, what about seeing it in person? They're seeing him tortured like that, and they're seeing it, and John, Jesus had enough strength at that point to tell John, behold your mother. In other words, take care of my mom. And to his mother, behold your son. So John's now her son, and he's supposed to take care of her. That was Jesus' dying wish, wasn't it? Take care of my mother. John said, I have seen it, that which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, seen with our eyes. He hadn't just heard about this in church. He was there. We saw it with our eyes, which we have looked at and our hands have touched. This we preach to you concerning the word of life. The life appeared. Who's the life? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. It came in a person, in the body of a person, right? Jesus. What we've seen and heard, we testify to it. We proclaim to you eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with who? Oh, this is important. Our fellowship is what? Who's it with? The Father. You say, I thought fellowship was just a lunch together. Oh, God would have lunch with you too. But that's not all there is. Fellowship. It's translated a lot of different ways, but it's basically the idea of sharing something with somebody. Our sharing, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make your joy complete. I want you to be happy about this, he said. We're all going to be happy about this. Let me give you this in some other translations. This one is contemporary English. We're telling you what we have seen and heard so you may share in this life with us. And we share in it with the Father and with His Son. So fellowship, share. Another one says God's Word translation. This is the life we've seen and heard. We're reporting about it to you also so that you too can have a relationship with us and a relationship with the Father. Our relationship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So now you've got sharing, your fellowship, and then you've got sharing, now you've got relationship. All ways you can translate that same word. Jubilee Bible says, that which we have seen and heard we declare to you, that you also may have communion with us. Our communion is with the Father and with the Son. Fellowship, communion, common union. You're united in our common thing. The biggest one I see when I think about all this with our Father in heaven is family. Family. Now today, families can be problematic. People have lots of bad family issues. But when family is good, it's really good, isn't it? And when you're down and you don't have anywhere else to go to, family will take you in. Some of them will. So, like the guy said, you can't choose your family, but you can choose your favorites in the family, right? We were at the airport in Arizona one time getting on the plane and going through security and I had my driver's license and this guy looking it over, he said, oh, Louisiana. I said, uh-huh. He said, I was born in somewhere down south, Thibodeau, I think he said. I was born in Thibodeau. I said, what are you doing way out here in Arizona, getting away from family? Families can be problematic. But this family, God's family, in the heavenly realms, we're partakers in that, and it's perfect. Didn't David just say, mother and father may forsake me, but who? The Lord will take me in. He always will. He always will. He's a father. He loves us, right? John says we have what? We have fellowship. We have communion with the Father. We have communion with the Father and with His Son. We have sharing with the Father. One said, the voice translation says, what we saw and heard, we pass on to you so that you two will be connected with us intimately and become family. Our family is united by our connection with the Father and with His Son Jesus, the Anointed One. World English Bible, we tell you also what we've seen and heard. We tell you so that you also will belong with us. Some people tell me that. They come here, they experience this congregation, and before long they're saying, I just felt like I was home. Just walked in, I felt like home. Belonging, right? We tell you so that you will belong with us, and we belong with the Father and the Son. Isn't that amazing? Now, that's the same passage translated all those different ways. You say, why does they have to translate it different ways? This may come as a shock to you, but Jesus did not speak English. Then that day, Greek was the main language that people wrote in so everybody could kind of understand it. Beautiful translations of that idea that we're connected, that we're bonded with God. The Father loves you. He wants you to have relationship with Him. You're not imposing on Him. He's not trying to keep you out of heaven. You said, but I'm so bad. Well, Jesus took care of that. Do you believe that? Have you accepted Him? Have you accepted Him as your Savior and done what He told you to do? Start off in that Christian life. Some people think God's trying to keep us out of heaven because He doesn't want me to come in and mess up the place. You probably would if you weren't in Christ. So this is the idea of drawing closer to God face to face. The next slide is going to be 2 Corinthians, the last one, but it's going to be 2 Corinthians. And this one is a key. You know, we've talked about Old Testament, we've talked about Moses, all of that. But 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is an amazing place. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 12. Paul's writing to this church that needs to come back together, and he's trying to help them be reconciled to God and to each other. And he says this, verse 12, "Therefore, since we have such a hope, we are very bold." Now, some of that's not on the screen, but we'll get it all up there in a minute, the rest of it. "Therefore, since we have such a hope, we're very bold. We're not like Moses, who had put a veil over his face." Remember that? To keep Israel from being scared of him. Keep the Israelites from gazing at it while its radiance was fading away. But their minds were made dull. How were their minds made dull? They were afraid of too much closeness with God. And so Moses put a veil on. Come down to verse 16. Whenever anyone turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit. And that part's on the screen, I think. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Not freedom to do bad. Freedom to what? Freedom. If you think Moses had freedom to speak to God face to face, what do you think we have? Hebrews, not on the screen there, but Hebrews talks about come boldly before the throne of grace, that you can find help. This idea of coming to God's presence, where God enjoys it, it shocks a lot of people. It's not what's taught in a lot of churches, that God wants you. He wants you to be intimate with Him. He wants to see you face to face. He wants you to know Him. He wants you to love Him. He wants you to walk with Him. You say, but I'm a bad person. Well, why do you think Christ died? He didn't die for the good things you've done. He didn't have to. What did He die for? Take down the barriers. That's what this says. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's what? Freedom. Oh, there's freedom. Ah, I can go anytime and be honest. Just be honest with God. I had a good friend years ago. It took me a while to get him off that he would pray in King James English. And I finally got through to him that you don't have to pray that way. You don't have to pray that way. King James, he did a good thing, I guess, by translating. A lot of people use King James. A lot of people, millions, maybe billions, have gone to heaven reading King James, right? But you don't have to use that language today. That was language, what, 500 years ago, the way they spoke. God wants you, as His child, you're in Christ, to just come in and talk to Him. Just be honest. First of all, that's more effective. That's more like a relationship when you're just honest. But you're not going to impress him with how smart you are or how much theological language you know. You're not going to impress him, are you? Because he's already heard it all. As I like what one preacher said. He said, you know, when your little grandchild comes in, 3 years old, and they got this piece of paper, and they've taken crayons and colored all over it. He said, the greatest genius on the face of the earth that's ever lived could come to God and tell God his theories, and God would be like that grandpa looking at that and say, look at that thing, and you say, that's good, baby. That's really good. Maybe next time you can stay in the lines a little bit, you know. You're not going to impress God with how much theology you know or how much you with all your problems. Look at my problems, Lord. Look at my... No, he just wants you to come in and talk to him face to face. Do you believe? Do you really believe you can experience God in such a way that he is there and he is real and he is intimately known by you and you can talk to him and he'll tell you things? You're not going to hear audible voices. What happens? He'll tell you things through his word, the Bible. Because you get close to him, and then you start reading the Bible, and you say, oh, I see that now. I never saw that before. But he can also tell you in your heart. The Bible says we have a conscience, don't we? We know we have a conscience. Can he talk to you through your conscience? He can. He can. I told the class a while ago about how I wound up being a preacher and talked about the times when I wasn't even that concerned about God. And the step-by-step process, God called me into this. And it was not, there was not an audible voice, and there wasn't bright light, and there wasn't, it was just one little step at a time. One little step at a time. When you have, we had one here at Food Bank yesterday, a little one trying to walk. And, you know, she tries, and then plop, sits down on the floor. Nobody said, come on, you idiot, don't you know how to talk yet? We all thought it was cute. When you falter, is God going to ridicule you? Everybody else might, but he won't, because he loves you. He'll say, come on, we can. Let me help you a little bit. When little one falls, what do? You help him up. Let me show you. Hold my hand, I'll help you. And they did that yesterday. Hold my hand, we'll walk across. God does that for us, doesn't he? We are so, what we have in him is so amazing. Now the Lord is a spirit, and where the spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we all who with unveiled faces, we don't need veils. Why? We belong there. We belong there. In fact, we don't need veils because what God does in you, he wants to show the world. The happiness and joy you have will impress people. And will help people talk to him face to face. What does this say? Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And we who with unveiled faces contemplate the Lord's glory. Or I put in parenthesis there, behold as in a mirror. Contemplate. Some versions, the other versions have different words. But literally that word contemplate means to look into a mirror. Well, what happens when you look into a mirror? Somebody staring back at you. So early in the morning, you may say, boy, she needs her hair done, you know. So you're looking in this mirror. Somebody's looking back at you, right? So you try to say, okay, let me look in the mirror. I got to fix my hair, and I got to, if it's a guy, you know, whatever, you got to shave or whatever. And looking in the mirror to see how your progress is going. And so why do we behold God in a mirror like that? Why does, look at the rest of this. With unveiled faces, we contemplate or behold as in a mirror the Lord's glory. So we see his glory as we look at him, and he looks a little bit like us, but you look at him, and the glory is there, and it begins to change you, like a mirror will change your appearance if you do what it says. And beholding him, walking with him face to face. Look at the rest of it. I think the next slide has the rest of it. We're being transformed into his image. Whose image? God's image, the Lord's image. Walking face to face, it changed Moses, didn't it? He came down after 40 days of intense time with God, and they scattered. They saw, what is wrong with him? What is the man? What's he been up to? And they saw this radiance coming off of him. We have the same thing, only in the spirit world. The spirit world, the devil is scared of you. Do you know that? Why does the Bible say, resist him and he'll run? Because he doesn't have any defense against you unless you let him. He doesn't have, because of the power of God's presence, he backs away. Didn't even demons yell at Jesus, why are you here? Are you here to torture us? You're in the presence of God, and this says we're doing what? We're being transformed into his image with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. The Spirit's the one helping us, is the one helping us to do this. So what are you doing? Beholding the Lord. How do you behold the Lord? Well, you go into your prayer time, and you just visit with him. And you just tell him honestly what's going on. And as you do that, you're beholding him in that sense, and then you read his word, and every time you read the word, you're seeing him, you're beholding him. The word of God is living and active. It says that in Hebrews 4:12. Living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. It will get to the difference in your bone, and a knife goes between the bone and the marrow. He said the word of God goes into your intentions. And it gets inside your, the Word of God gets inside your spirit and sorts things out, like a knife can sort out from meat, from the bones and the marrow, starts sorting you out. So in here is part of your beholding him face to face. And the other part is you just got to get in that devotional time. You got to say, I love you. I want to be with you. I want to talk to you. Now, don't get upset if it's not easy. I'll tell you why. The devil hates that. Yeah. And he'll distract you every way he can. The biggest thing we have to learn, I think, in this area is the people that don't quit. The people that don't quit get the benefits. But the ones who quit, it doesn't matter how long you've invested in this thing, and you quit. You just start all over again. You just lose it. If you don't quit and you say, I want to see, I want to know God face to face. I'm determined to have that. I'm planning it. I'm going to do it. I will do whatever I have to do to see him face to face. I will walk with him as much as I possibly can. And as I walk with him, I will not give up on this. And even if I have situations where I'm thrown off track, I'll get right back on. The biggest failure in prayer life is you quit praying. You pray about things and you quit. Because you say, well, I didn't get the answer in 10 minutes, so I guess it didn't work. No. No, you didn't work. You didn't invest and invest and invest in your spiritual life. You got to keep investing. Because it's like I told you that the other day. They say, experts say that out here, if you look at all these woods, most of the wood is below the ground. All those roots. What do you think holds these big oak trees up? You can't have a little root under there big as my arm to hold up that oak tree. It just spreads out and goes all up under there. Like an iceberg, 90% is under the waterline. You, 90% of you is under the waterline. It's in your spiritual life. It's in walking with God. It's in building and investing and investing and investing in that. And as you invest in that, you get stronger. And people wonder why you got such joy, and you may be wondering too. I don't know why I'm so happy. I got stuff going on, but I'm happy anyway. I didn't used to be that way. You've invested, and you've gotten to that point where you're growing. It's the greatest life there is. Will the devil challenge you? Well, sure he will. What that tells me, I've had things happen before, and the devil really challenged me, and I've had people call me. You know, there's some people that'll harass you online if they know you're a Christian, and as all that happens, it just reminds me I'm on the right track. If you're getting some blowback from the devil or from people, if you're getting some blowback and some resistance in your spiritual life, You say, aha, I must be hurting the devil a little bit. I'm on the right track. Things are happening that he doesn't like. What does the Bible say about the devil? Resist him. He'll flee. Don't talk about him as if he's this all-powerful being. He's only an angel, and he's an angel that lost his place in heaven because he turned his back on God and tried to be God. So, face to face, most powerful life you can ever live is the face to face life. Face to face life. As you come to the last slide here, we're going to be praying about this book. We have a notebook here, some of you may not know that, full of names, over 30 pages, I think it's 32 now, names of people that do not know Christ, and you turn these names in, your family members or whoever you know, friends, co-workers. We pray over these every time because we know that before anybody gets the idea that they should change or be open to God, the Spirit has to work on them. Greatest miracle you ever have in your life, the greatest miracle you ever have in your life is being born again. Everything else comes off of that. So we pray for the great miracle for these people. Many are still resistant to it. But God will, like I told you my story in the class time, God will work little ways. Don't lose your persistence. Just keep going. Keep praying. There's some in here who used to be Christians and they fell away. We're praying for them too, aren't we? So, while I'm praying for this, you come to bring to mind someone you know who may not be a believer yet, or someone who is and fell away. Name their name in your private time right now. So let's take just a minute and do that. Father, we thank you. What a powerful thing. Not only to be face to face with you, but to help our friends and relatives come face to face with you and have their lives grow and be strong. We pray, Father, for these individuals that your Spirit will just come into their lives and shake things up a little bit. Help them in their lives to see their dissatisfaction in a life without Christ. We thank you, Father, that you hear us. You always hear us. And you said if we pray according to your will, we know we have the answer. Well, this is certainly according to your will. You said many times in your word, you do not want anyone to perish, but all to come to a knowledge of the truth. So we thank you, Father. We thank you for hearing and answering our prayers in Christ's name. Amen.